Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of the fact that as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance that includes this life and the life to come, provision for this life and provision for the life to come. We have a present inheritance and we have a future inheritance. And it's going to take us a couple weeks to sort of sort it all out, but we're working through understanding what is available to us in this life and what is available in the life to come. Because sometimes Christians have inaccurate ideas and expect God to do for them in this life things he has not promised to do. And they end up frustrated, disappointed, and sometimes even angry at God. And then they fail to access the hope and the peace that comes as part of our present provision. So we're working on sorting all this out. We've made the point that you first have to recognize the parameters of life in a fallen world. There's no such thing as an easy, problem-free life in this world. Some of the contemporary preaching can give you the idea that if you do it right, if you have enough faith, if you tithe enough, if you cross all your T's and dot all your I's, you can keep trouble out of your life. That's not true. There's no such thing as a problem-free life in this world. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. And you have to understand that although there is help for us in life's trials, some issues can be resolved in this life, but others can't be. That's where you need to know there's more to life than just this life. This present life is temporary. We're only passing through this world as it is. The greater and better part of our life is ahead in the life to come. First in the present invisible heaven, and then back on this earth after it's been made new. Whole cans of worms for another day. But the ultimate stage for the reversals of life's pains, injustices and losses is ahead. So the things that can't be resolved or aren't going to be resolved in this life, we have to deal with them the best we can with the assurance that all will be made right in the life to come. Therefore, we have hope, even in the midst of very challenging circumstances. Now, we left off yesterday saying that most of life's troubles come from choices made by other people. But, and we've emphasized this, God gave humanity free will, and with free will come the consequences of the choices people make. You and I are going to die physically. Our bodies are going into the grave, not because of anything we've done wrong, but because of a choice that Adam made to rebel against God in the Garden of Eden. I can't pray that away. I don't care how much faith I have. Now, I can look to God for physical strength and healing in this life, but my body's ultimately going to wear out and die and go into the ground until the resurrection of the dead. See, that's the balance between present provision and future provision. Present provision, strength for service and physical health. Future provision is a body raised from the dead beyond the touch of sickness, corruption, old age, and death. Now, the Bible records a number of examples of God using human choice, even choices he doesn't approve of with consequences that are bad, using those choices and causing them to serve his purposes as he works out his plan to have a family of holy, righteous sons and daughters. And we're going to spend the rest of this week examining one of those examples. The story of Joseph is a wonderful example of present provision and future provision. We briefly summarized Joseph's story at the end of the broadcast yesterday. Let me just hit the highlights. It's found in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. When Joseph was 17 years old, his older brothers, who were jealous of him because of his father's love for him, sold him into slavery after changing their minds about killing him. He was taken to Egypt by slave traders and purchased by a man named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Joseph was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife and unjustly jailed. But while in prison, he rightly interpreted dreams had by a baker and a butler who worked for Pharaoh. The dreams predicted that the baker would be executed and the butler released. Joseph asked the butler to bring his case before Pharaoh when he was released, but the man forgot Joseph for 2 years. When Pharaoh had troubling dreams nobody could interpret, Joseph was summoned. The butler remembered him. Joseph rightly interpreted the dreams to mean that there were 7 years of plenty ahead, followed by 7 years of famine, and he advised Pharaoh to place a man in charge of preparing for the coming famine and food distribution to get them through it. Pharaoh selected Joseph, who successfully designed and implemented a food gathering and distribution program. There was plenty of food to feed Egypt as well as surrounding nations. Joseph's own brothers were among those who came to him for food. He was eventually reunited with his family when his father, brothers, and their wives and children moved to Egypt to live. Now, Joseph's ordeal, this is a real person who's in heaven right now, and you'll meet him someday. He lived a life as real as yours and mine. He's part of the same plan of God as we are. God's plan to have a family of holy, righteous sons and daughters through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. His ordeal brings up some questions. Why did this happen? We could do a whole lesson on this, but consider some thoughts. God didn't do it. People mistakenly think God brings or allows the trials of life. By allow, they mean he's somehow behind them or approving of them in some way. God didn't do it. How do I know? Because Jesus, who is God and shows us God, never treated anybody like that. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. Jesus said, our Heavenly Father is better than the best earthly father. No earthly father would put his son through what Joseph went through. God doesn't afflict people only to turn around and deliver them. That would be a house divided against itself. What happened to Joseph is called affliction. But God doesn't afflict only to turn around and set people free, because that would be a house divided against itself. Joseph's brothers plotted to murder him, sold him into slavery, and then lied to their father, Jacob, about what happened. These were fallen men who were influenced by Satan. They carried out a series of free will acts that caused trouble in Joseph's life. That's why it happened. Sinful men with fallen natures, influenced by Satan, carried out free will acts and caused Joseph's trouble. Why? Because that's life in a sin-cursed earth. I could do a whole week of lessons on this, but you need to learn to answer the why question, why did this happen, with that's life in a sin-cursed earth. Now, what do we do about it? Why didn't God stop it from happening? I've had people ask me that, and that's a reasonable question. Consider this. Number one, God does not override human choice. If he did, we wouldn't truly have free will choice. Instead, because he knows what we're going to choose before we choose it, he's able to work it into his plan. We'll say more on that later. Have you ever wondered this? Why didn't God warn Joseph not to go see his brothers the day they carried out their plan? Well, in the first place, it wouldn't have solved the issue. Yes, he wouldn't have got captured and sold into slavery that day, but the brothers would have still had jealousy and murder in their heart and would have gotten him on another day. God would have had to take him out of the area to protect him from his brothers. Oh, wait, that's what happened. You have to understand, God does put off short-term blessing for long-term eternal results. Now, a lot of people can't stand to hear me say that, but that's what the Bible shows us. He does put off short-term blessing, like ending your trouble right now, for long-term eternal results. God does not stop trouble immediately. It just doesn't work that way. He didn't stop Joseph's ordeal the day it began. Not because he wanted Joseph to go through it, but because he saw a way to use it. God uses and maximizes the consequences of human choice for his glory and much good, even choices he does not approve of or orchestrate. God's not behind enslaving people. God's not behind lying to a father and telling him his beloved son is dead. However, you need to understand, timing is involved in the way God works. Had God stopped Joseph's ordeal the day it started, he would not have ended up in Egypt in charge of a food distribution program. He and his family may have died in the famine that hit that region. Had the family, Joseph's family, died, that would have thwarted the plan of redemption, since Jesus is prophesied to come through this group of people. Had God intervened when Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, falsely accusing him of rape, he wouldn't have gone to prison and met the butler, who was his link to Pharaoh. Had the butler remembered Joseph sooner, he might have been released from jail, but he would have gone back home to Canaan without interpreting any dreams and would have died in obscurity or died in the famine. See, timing was involved in all this. God saw a way to get Joseph to a position of responsibility that would save not only his family, but multitudes of people, and we're not going to get to it today, but we'll find out when you read his whole story, you find out that while he was in Egypt, multitudes of idol-worshipping heathens heard his story and heard about the true God, Almighty God, Jehovah, the only God. You are going to meet former idol-worshipping Egyptians in heaven who were brought to saving knowledge of the true God through Joseph's ordeal. And I'll guarantee you, Joseph is not going to pin you into a corner in heaven and tell you his sad story about how unfair it was that he had to be sold into slavery and suffer all these injustices. He's going to tell you how awesome God is that he was able to use icky free will choices and bring people to saving knowledge of himself. Joseph is going to tell you how God got him through until he got him out. When you read Joseph's story, you find out that every place he went, God was with him and God got him through. And God caused him even to thrive in the midst of very difficult circumstances. See, that's life in a fallen world. There's present provision and future promise. We'll pick it up here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.